You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As Elder Abuse Awareness Week approaches, new research into aged residential care is being released. Our reporter Katie Doyle spoke to Dr. Polly Jung from Massey University about her new study into residential care in New Zealand, abuse, and the upcoming release of a National Care Indicators program, which will help to protect elderly people in New Zealand. Katie began by asking about Dr. Jung's latest study.
So the study on the residential aged care actually derived in 2015 when we were asked to partner with MetLife Care, just as, I don't know whether you know, but it's one of the major residential aged care in New Zealand, one of the providers. So basically, they wanted to implement a new, it's not a new philosophy, but it's a philosophy that's been quite influential in the last 30 years, which is called resident-directed or resident-centre care. So the focus is actually focusing on what the resident they want, their preference, instead of running it like an institution. It is really important to focus on the preference and the interests of the resident in terms of how they see their lives, needs to be living in a rest home, so kind of providing a more home-like environment. So we've done some evaluation work on their behalf, looking at care satisfaction and quality of living and quality of care for those living in rest home, and also some of those living in retirement village.
And in light of your study, what are some of the concerning, I guess, statistics and trends emerging in regards to elderly care in New Zealand?
I think, as you know, with the ageing population, you know, there's more demand for older people. I think one of the key things is older people also want to look at ageing in place. You know, there is this whole concept, in a sense, it's about if they can stay in their own home as long as they can, but with, you know, declining health, mobility or physical issues or even cognitive issues, we are seeing there are more needs to for older people who might need to choose to maybe first of all going into a retirement village and then subsequently going into assisted living or care homes. And I think, you know, traditionally a lot of care homes, you know, have been sort of kind of conceptualized into like an institution running with that focusing on biomedical kind of concern. But as we're seeing the aging population, they're more push in terms of looking at providing quality of care for older people living in aged care. So it's not running like a hospital or running like an institution saying you have set time for getting up and breakfast, lunch, dinner, and what time you need to go to bed. It's more looking at what we should be providing them with choices, and just because they might be older, they might be frail, or they have other disability, it doesn't mean that their wishes or their preference should not be respected. And I think the other thing is family members are keen to be involved in terms of care planning for their family members, their loved one living in care homes. I think in the past when it's kind of being run in a more like a traditional institution, there is that gap between family involvement and professional. And the work that we've done with MetLife Care with their philosophy of resident-directed care or resident-centred care, we see that families, they want to be involved. They don't necessarily want to have every say in everything, but they're interested in terms of what they can input to also to help the staff member who are running the care home in order to provide the best services. And often in from our study, we see that they are actually quite happy and satisfied with the changes or with the care that staff are providing. And what we see that is that the changes cannot be done just by frontline staff. It needs to be coming from the management, from the kind of the strategic planning, because if we're looking at resident centre care, it does require staff to be more flexible. If they don't get the support from the senior management, I guess it's the, you know, in a lot of literature they talk about this whole thing called cultural change. If they don't change the culture of what needs to be revised and provided in a care home, then it makes the frontline staff, put a lot of pressure on them in order to implement this resident-centred care.
I was reading that across the board in New Zealand, levels of elder abuse is rising. Can you elaborate on that?
Last year when the World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, we talked about a study that we've done from a secondary set of data looking at what are some of the prevalence of elder abuse in New Zealand. We do see that emotional abuse and the rising of financial abuse are being seen as one, you know, some of the key sort of risk factors for our older people. And I guess with elder abuse, sometimes older people are getting isolated in their own home, or they might want to, as I said to you earlier, aging in place, stay in their own community as long as they can, and they might be, but because of their ill health or mobility, they're not as connected with their family and the community more. And I think it's part that they don't want to be a burden of their own families. And sometimes with, you know, financial abuse, it's being seen as a rising issue. And in our media release, we talked about 90% of what's being seen as abuse is being reported at being committed at home, and sometimes it's being committed by their own family members. And I guess with the, you know, with the economic kind of constrained, you know, even with some of the family members, sometimes they go back to their mum and dad, or elder mum and dad, to see whether they can ask for some financial support, and those tension can escalate to, you know, sort of financial abuse. And also I think we're not just looking at abuse, we're also looking at neglect. We see the older people living by themselves. You know, if they're not getting enough support, if they're not being connected with their own community, they may have neglect in terms of things like malnutrition. Recently, Massey University also have another research that talked about malnutrition. It's a key issue in older people, not just those living in care home, but also in the community, because they might not be getting enough nutrients, so they're neglecting themselves. And without that kind of family or community support, you know, neglect and abuse can happen simultaneously, you know, for those who are really vulnerable.
And finally, I understand that you have partnered with some other medical professionals and academics to create a national care indicators program. Can you tell me about this and what you hope it will achieve?
So with this new project that is currently being led by Professor Jenny Carrier. She's the professor at the School of Nursing at Massey University. So the program is called the National Care Indicators Program. At the moment, from our knowledge in the team, there are very limited kind of standardized prevalence of what is happening in our hospital and also aged care in terms of the care issues in relation to pressure sores, falls, malnutrition and incontinence. In Europe, particularly in Netherlands, which is one of our key research members, and in sort of the Northern Europe, they have a standardized measure, and it's been going around for a long period of time to kind of map the whole, you know, in a sense, the country in terms of what are the prevalence, so that they can put intervention and prevention strategies. But at the moment in New Zealand, they're quite patchy. So some people might report that we have high, you know, percentage of pressure sores happening in, you know, rest home, but we don't necessarily have clear throughout the whole New Zealand what is going on in terms of looking at what we can ask for the Ministry of Health, or even looking at hospital, what we can provide better services. So with this, we are hoping, you know, we have a set of database, so we're hoping that we can develop a more standardized benchmark to showcase what is happening in our country, particularly looking at these four key issues, so then we can find the best strategies, you know, based on evidence, but also based on practice, to support those people who are old, you know, getting older. And I guess the merit of benchmarking is that often family members, if they are choosing to look at which rest home their loved parents or family member they want to go into, that they don't necessarily know, so what is the health status of this particular rest home? They might be able to find some information on a Ministry of Health website, maybe before auditing, but we don't necessarily have a generic and standardized report that is sort of centralized for people to look at. So with that benchmarking, we can offer some of those information in terms of a general sense to the public, so then they can choose, hey, this particular, you know, provider, talk about their prevalence of these issues, and over time they have made significant improvements. So I guess in this sort of in an environment, it's very competitive in terms of kind of finding a rest home for their loved one. You know, we're hoping that will also make that contribution to family who might be looking down the track, or the older person thinking about their later life relocation, whether it's going into a, you know, rest home, or maybe even in a retirement village, which is part of the big, you know, complex of a, you know, aged care provider.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
As Elder Abuse Awareness Week approaches, new research into aged residential care has been released. Our reporter Katie Doyle spoke to Dr. Polly Jung from Massey University about her new study into residential care in New Zealand, abuse, and the upcoming release of a National Care Indicators Program, which will help to protect elderly people in New Zealand. Katie began by asking about Dr. Jung's latest study.
So the study on the residential aged care actually derived in 2015, when we were asked to partner with MetLife Care, just as I don't know whether you know, but it's one of the major residential aged care in New Zealand, one of the providers. So basically, they wanted to implement a new, it's not a new philosophy, but it's a philosophy that's been quite influential in the last 30 years, which is called resident-directed or resident-centred care. So the focus is actually focusing on what the resident they want, their preference, instead of running it like an institution. It is really important to focus on the preference and the interest of the resident in terms of how they see their lives, you know, needs to be living in a rest home, so kind of providing a more home-like environment. So we've done some evaluation work on their behalf, looking at care satisfaction and quality of living and quality of care for those living in rest home, and also some of those living in retirement village.
And in light of your study, what are some of the concerning, I guess, statistics and trends emerging in regards to elderly care in New Zealand?
I think, as you know, with the ageing population, you know, there's more demand for older people. I think one of the key things is older people also want to look at ageing in place. You know, there is this whole concept, in a sense, it's about if they can stay in their own home as long as they can, but with, you know, declining health, mobility or physical issues or even cognitive issues, we are seeing there are more needs to for older people who might need to choose to maybe first of all going into a retirement village and then subsequently going into assisted living or care homes. And I think, you know, traditionally a lot of care homes, you know, have been sort of kind of conceptualized into like an institution running with that focusing on biomedical kind of concern. But as we're seeing the aging population, they're more push in terms of looking at providing quality of care for older people living in aged care. So it's not running like a hospital or running like an institution saying you have set time for getting up and breakfast, lunch, dinner, and what time you need to go to bed. It's more looking at what we should be providing them with choices, and just because they might be older, they might be frail, or they have other disability, it doesn't mean that their wishes or their preference should not be respected. And I think the other thing is family members are keen to be involved in terms of care planning for their family members, their loved one living in care homes. I think in the past when it's kind of being run in a more like a traditional institution, there is that gap between family involvement and professional. And the work that we've done with MetLife Care with their philosophy of resident-directed care or resident-centred care, we see that families, they want to be involved. They don't necessarily want to have every say in everything, but they're interested in terms of what they can input to also to help the staff member who are running the care home in order to provide the best services. And often, in from our study, we see that they are actually quite happy and satisfied with the changes or with the care that staff are providing. And what we see that is that the changes cannot be done just by frontline staff. It needs to be coming from the management, from the kind of the strategic planning, because if we're looking at resident centre care, it does require staff to be more flexible. If they don't get the support from the senior management, I guess it's the, you know, in a lot of literature they talk about this whole thing called cultural change. If they don't change the culture of what needs to be revised and provided in a care home, then it makes the frontline staff, you know, put a lot of pressure on them in order to implement this resident-centred care.
I was reading that across the board in New Zealand, levels of elder abuse is rising. Can you elaborate on that?
Last year, when the World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, we talked about a study that we've done from a secondary set of data looking at what are some of the prevalence of elder abuse in New Zealand. We do see that emotional abuse and the rising of financial abuse are being seen as one, you know, some of the key sort of risk factors for our older people. And I guess with elder abuse, sometimes older people are getting isolated in their own home, or they might want to, as I said to you earlier, aging in place, stay in their own community as long as they can, and they might be, but because of their ill health or mobility, they're not as you know, connected with their family and the community more. And I think it's part that they don't want to be a burden of their own families. And sometimes with, you know, financial abuse, it's being seen as a rising issue. And in our media release, we talked about 90% of what's being seen as abuse is being reported at being committed at home, and sometimes it's being committed by their own family members. And I guess with the, you know, with the economic kind of constrained, you know, even with some of the family members, sometimes they go back to their mum and dad, or elder mum and dad, to see whether they can ask for some financial support, and those tension can escalate to, you know, sort of financial abuse. And also, I think we're not just looking at abuse, we're also looking at neglect. We see the older people living by themselves. You know, if they're not getting enough support, if they're not being connected with their own community, they may have neglect in terms of things like malnutrition. Recently, Massey University also have another research that talked about malnutrition. It's a key issue in older people, not just those living in care home, but also in the community, because they might not be getting enough nutrients, so they're neglecting themselves. And without that kind of family or community support, you know, neglect and abuse can happen simultaneously, you know, for those who are really vulnerable.
And finally, I understand that you have partnered with some other medical professionals and academics to create a national care indicators program. Can you tell me about this and what you hope it will achieve?
So with this new project that is currently being led by Professor Jenny Carrier. She's the professor at the School of Nursing at Massey University. So the program is called the National Care Indicators Program. At the moment, from our knowledge in the team, there are very limited kind of standardized prevalence of what is happening in our hospital and also aged care in terms of the care issues in relation to pressure sores, falls, malnutrition and incontinence. In Europe, particularly in Netherlands, which is one of our key research members, and in sort of the Northern Europe, they have a standardized measure, and it's been going around for a long period of time to kind of map the whole, you know, in a sense, the country in terms of what are the prevalence, so that they can put intervention and prevention strategies. But at the moment in New Zealand, they're quite patchy. So some people might report that we have high, you know, percentage of pressure sores happening in, you know, rest home, but we don't necessarily have clear throughout the whole New Zealand what is going on in terms of looking at what we can ask for the Ministry of Health, or even looking at hospital, what we can provide better services. So with this, we are hoping, you know, we have a set of database, so we're hoping that we can develop a more standardized benchmark to showcase what is happening in our country, particularly looking at these four key issues, so then we can find the best strategies, you know, based on evidence, but also based on practice, to support those people who are old, you know, getting older. And I guess the merit of benchmarking is that often family members, if they are choosing to look at which rest home their loved parents or family member they want to go into, there, they don't necessarily know, so what is the health status of this particular rest home? They might be able to find some information on a Ministry of Health website, maybe before auditing, but we don't necessarily have a generic and standardized report that is sort of centralized for people to look at. So with that benchmarking, we can offer some of those information in terms of a general sense to the public, so then they can choose, hey, this particular, you know, provider, talk about their prevalence of these issues, and over time they have made significant improvements. So I guess in this sort of in an environment, it's very competitive in terms of kind of finding a rest home for their loved one. You know, we're hoping that will also make that contribution to family who might be looking down the track, or the older person thinking about their later life relocation, whether it's going into a, you know, rest home, or maybe even in a retirement village, which is part of the big, you know, complex of a, you know, aged care provider.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.